We are continuing on our second week. Last week we hit the introduction to spiritual disciplines and finding joy in those disciplines. And guys, I just wanted to say half of this week I was going through the first spiritual discipline because as I get ready to prepare for it, I know we as a church family, you guys have gotten journals out already to go through it yourselves this week, but I wanted to be prepared going through it. When I saw Jim on Thursday, Jim Shedd and I meet, he's one of my mentors, and when we met on Thursday, I think I was kind of smiling from ear to ear. I was things were going big, and I was hearing from God, and I was practicing what I'm going to be preaching. And then from Friday on, I got to be honest with you guys, I got caught up in clutter. There was just a number of times where I got focused on the to-do list. Doing the to-do list isn't important, but I got so into the moment of the hurry. And I got to tell you, where I was on Thursday when I met with Jim and where I was before I had some prayer time this morning, it was two different places. And so as I share this, I want to let you guys know, this is what we're aiming at, but there are times, man, where we just have to realize, you know what? I'm a little distant from God right now. I'm a little distant from God. And as we go through the spiritual disciplines, my hope and prayer is that we will just have a chance to slow down, to hear from God, to be still before Him. And so spiritual disciplines, they're the deliberate self-imposed habits that nurture spiritual health and encourage spiritual growth, leading to maturity. The goal themselves is not the spiritual disciplines. We practice spiritual disciplines to what? To be still and to hear from God and to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. To be in His presence and to hear from Him in new ways. And just a reminder, the spiritual disciplines, I handed out, and if you didn't get it, make sure you get it before you leave. And it's one of these, the Joy of Spiritual Disciplines Journal. And we're doing just the first three, so we can do three at a time. And then if new people come, we can hand them a new booklet and they can join in from the... So it's just a little bit more opportunity for people to be brought in from the beginning of each of the booklets. But we're going to be looking first at the inward disciplines. And the inward disciplines are meditation, prayer, and fasting. After that, we'll hit the outward disciplines, simplicity, solitude, and service. And then we'll hit the communal corporate disciplines, which is confession, worship, and celebration. Guys, these are not all the disciplines, but they're most of them. And it's a chance for us to really grow and hear from God. So I'm excited for what God is going to do in our midst here. But I want to start off by saying this. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to be willing to go to one of the scariest places for many, many people. And that is silence, stillness. Do you know how rare it is in today's world for people to be still and silent, even for a moment? A young lady called me up on the phone, and she was talking to me about different stuff that she could sell our church. That it sounded like a really neat opportunity, and I was interested. I was finding out about it, and then as she was sharing, one of the things she shared was that she'd been married. About just 1 year. She was just having her 1 year anniversary. So we got talking on the phone and I shared, something that she shared with me. We're not really connecting. And so Pastor, can you just pray for me? Because we were talking and so I said, one of the things that sometimes helps is if you take just 5 minutes, and this is something that we could practice a lot more, is take 5 minutes, no TV, no nothing, look at each other, and just talk with no TV, no distractions. So she called me up the next week to see if we could set up the time for me hearing about what she has. And she said, and Pastor, I just want you to know, I shared with my husband and we did it and it was wonderful. And so we met the next day and we started sharing. We shared with our small group at our church. And then a bunch of our people from our small group started sharing with other people. And so our church is starting to do this thing. I was like, wow, are you kidding? But there's something special about being quiet and being connected one-on-one. And when we connect with God one-on-one, it's amazing. But guys, if you've been married a while and you haven't done that kind of a thing, it can be a little scary. It can be intimidating. It can be intimidating with God. Coming and being still before God. And so as we look at meditation, and I want to hit a couple things first. When I say the word meditation, a lot of us have a picture of Eastern religions with meditation. And we've got to acknowledge that because meditation is talked about over and over and over in the Old Testament. And so as we get ready to go here, I want to read this scripture and then we'll talk a little bit about what meditation isn't and what it is. So Psalm 1, starting in verse 1. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Guys, in his law, he delights. And in his law, he meditates. And what does it say here? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. God wants us to be intimate and real and personal with him. And so meditation is a time of coming before God, of reading his word. And chewing on it. And there's a difference, guys. There's a difference between what meditation and, say, Bible study in the Word of God. Bible study and going over and reading through the Word of God is to look at the exegesis. What is it saying? And when was it said? And who said it? And for what purpose? And meditation is for a bit of a different purpose. It's to put ourselves in to be hearing personally from God. What is it that you have me do because of the truth of your word? Where do I need to change, God? What do I need to give up? I want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, please talk to me. Because I've got some things that I need to confess. I need to be real with you. And so you know where I'm struggling. I'm struggling right here and right here and right here. And I need your help. I need your help. Personally, I need your help. Day and night. And I loved how it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There's some things happening before the meditation, aren't there? There's some things that are taking place. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on it. Guys, if we're living a life that does not go along with what we believe, it's going to be hard for us to hear from God. If we come to church on Sunday and say, praise God, and on Monday we go and kind of do our own thing during the week, and Friday comes, and Friday, Saturday, that's my time. That's my time to be, you know, real life. And then Sunday is reserved for God. Guys, Friday and Saturday, real life is not separate from our relationship with God. And if we are walking in the counsel of wicked during the week, it's going to be very, very hard for us to truly, intimately hear from God. Because I got to tell you, when I'm struggling with sin, when there's sin in my life, and I'm not, if I'm holding something against someone, and in my pride, I'm not willing to forgive them. In my pride, in my arrogance, I'm saying, they sinned against me. That affects every relationship I have, including my relationship with God. And now I'm so busy trying to justify myself and make myself appear right before myself. It's hard to hear. Because when we're puffing ourselves up, pride gets in the way. What causes us to be still and quiet before God is humility. And guys, we can't hear from God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus yet personally as your Lord and Savior, there's going to be a limit of where you can go with all this. Because the intimacy of meditation, of really hearing from God personally about what His Word is saying to you directly and how that affects your life, man, that happens in relationship with Jesus. In relationship with Jesus. He will be like a tree. If we are meditating, He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. What does a tree do that's near a stream of water? It flourishes. It grows. What does a tree do out in the desert? It dies. You need your source of water. And when you're planted by a stream, have you ever... I love going fishing with my grandfather, and we would do stream fishing. It was my favorite kind of fishing. And you'd be jumping from rock to rock and the trees and the beauty. Things around water get beautiful. They get beautiful. Day and night. Guys, there's no time where we cannot be, where we're not able to be in the presence of God in an intimate way. When you're driving, don't close your eyes. But when you're driving, what an incredible time. I got to tell you, Julie said to me the other day, we were driving and we were going and there was traffic. And she was like, Matthew, you need to just take a breath. Because I was like, okay, there's two of us, right, hon? There's one, two, right? Yeah. And we're in the fast lane because there's two of us in the car. And the fast lane's slower than the other lanes. And she was like, take a breath. Take a breath. Even in the car. There are times that there's opportunities for us to hear from God day and night, day and night. One other thing I want to say about this day and night, and we'll go into it a little bit further, is does God speak to us? I don't want to sound too over spiritual, but does God speak to us in our dreams? What do you think? If you're old. If you're what?
If you're old.
If you're old. Let me tell you, the older you get. That's right. He speaks to us in our dreams. He speaks to us. Day and night, we can be hearing from God. Day and night. And guys, one of the things that I'm going to hit a little bit later, but one of the things I just want us to be thinking about as we prepare for it is faith like a child is an amazing thing. And sometimes we get so focused on the exegesis, on the knowing the Word of God, which is extremely important, but we don't say, what does it mean to me? What are you saying to me personally, God? And just knowing the Word of God without knowing the Spirit of God? And so I want to encourage us day and night. You know, and have opportunities where you can have that childlike, be listening to God like a son or a daughter listens to their father. I'm not talking about the teenagers because it's a little harder, right? But what happens when the teenagers listen? It's blessing. But remember, I remember when our kids were really young. And man, I was a hero just for coming home. And when I spoke, the words were listened to and the eyes were big. Guys, as we get older, we lose that childlike joy before God. And I want to encourage us, let's not lose that. Let's hear from God personally and intimately. Do you have the desire to hear God's voice? Eastern meditation, guys. Eastern meditation is a human effort to empty our minds. to achieve nothingness, to be still and to be quiet, to be of nothing. That's East meditation. What do we know about trying to achieve nothing? What does the scripture say will happen when we clear our thoughts and when the things come in? If we don't let go and grab hold of the things of God, it says when we let go, other things will come in. Christian meditation is very different than Eastern meditation. Christian meditation is an effort to clear our minds, to be still before God, so God can fill us with Himself. With Himself. Not just about Him, but with His presence. God Himself, with His truth, with His love, with His power. And that all happens through relationship by faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Just think about that. What would happen if we had less of our time of... You know when you make a mistake and that mistake kind of stays with you for sometimes an hour, sometimes a day, and you kind of beat yourself up? See, we've got the world, we've got the enemy, there's so many things we're battling against. But when we are still before God, when we're meditating on Him and the truth of His Word, the smaller things don't come in and the lies don't hit their mark. And the lies don't take root and become a foothold and then become a stronghold. But we hear the truth of the Word and we're meditating on the truth of the Word. And now that's the truth of the Word that goes with us during the day. Not the discouragement of the defeats and the guilt and the shame. So what do you spend most of your time thinking about? If it says whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think on these things. What are we spending our time thinking about? I got to tell you, that's a challenging question to me. Because there's a lot of time that one of the things I did on two of the days this week was in my personal journal, I just wrote down a couple of things of where my mind was, and I realized, you know what, I need to get that time with my God earlier in the day. One of the things that I was convicted about this week was I was having my personal time after I got to the office. And God was saying, I want you to wake up with me. I want you to wake up with me, and I want you to go to bed thinking on thoughts of me, and I want you to be praying, and I want to spend more time with you. And I just heard in my heart, and I heard through His Word, man, day and night. He wants to be with us. Whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, think on these things. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer." Guys, why is Christian meditation so intimidating? Because we struggle with being quiet before God. But with that, meditation of scripture focuses on internalizing, personalizing the passage. One of the things that I did is I started early in the week, as I was reading through different scriptures, I was putting myself in the scripture. I was praying, God, what would it have been like? You know, I want to know you. What would I have heard? What would have been the sights and the sounds and the smells? And what would I have heard if I was in this time? And because, God, I want to be in your presence. And so I started reading then the scripture a few times through. And as I was reading it, I was the one involved in it. And I was observing it, and I was, and all of a sudden, certain things started standing out to me that I hadn't noticed before. And I think the one thing that struck me the most was in the scripture, when I spent time chewing, not on the exegesis of it, but on the personal, intimate part of it with God, I started hearing from him from Matthew. Just like he spoke to this man, he's speaking to you these words. What are you going to do with this? What are you doing? How are you going to process the truth of God's word? Because one of the things that comes from meditating on the word is we're challenged to be transformed by the gospel. We're to be transformed by the gospel in justification, in coming to Jesus, being born again. But we're also challenged to be transformed by the gospel sanctification, growing deeper in our walk. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. How are the words of our mouth doing? As if you were to meditate on that scripture, what are some of the things that would come? Man, have I been saying anything this week where I was tearing down rather than building up? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. If I said that very thing that I said to my friend in the presence of Jesus, would I be embarrassed? If I said those things to that guy in the other car while I was driving, while Jesus was in the passenger seat, would I be embarrassed? All of a sudden, it starts becoming a little bit more personal, doesn't it? Let the words of my mouth, guys, what we say matters. Words can destroy people. Look at what's happening in our country right now. It's not about trying to be, okay, you think this way and I think this way, and how do we come to some middle ground, and how do we respect each other and encourage each other and find ways to make our different viewpoints and find some way to come together. Now it's just, you're different and therefore you're wrong, and because you're wrong, you're evil, and I don't want to talk with you. Stay away. But what if the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart were acceptable and pleasing to God? What if that was true about those who are in leadership over us? Guys, all of a sudden, with that kind of thought process, now I start thinking, man, as I read the newspaper or hear the news, maybe my heart needs to go in prayer. And maybe I need to bring the scripture and say, how does the scripture fit into and the newspaper, and how do those two come together, and how can I be praying for those over me in areas of authority? And rather than complaining about our leadership, maybe now I start praying for our leadership, that they would come, first of all, to Jesus, and they would be transformed by the gospel, and that they would start hearing the truth from God and start leading from that truth. What would happen to our country? And now I'm intimately involved. I'm blanking at the moment on who it was, but Martin Luther King Jr. He said that to meditate on the word and to be fully engaged, you need to have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And as you pray through them both, as you see where the one meets the other and the truth is over the other, man, now rather than being offended at every turn, now what do we see? Now we see, man, God, transform our country. What happens if just the people in this church start praying differently because of who God is and what he's done? What would happen? Because what would happen if we started meditating on the Word of God, praying through it, and as we hear, and then as other people around us are having those conversations that we've been having with them, now, I can't believe he said that. Man, now, well, let's pray for him. Excuse me? I'm not going to pray for him or for her. Let's pray for him. What would happen if the church started living out the truth of the Word of God and meditating and chewing on it and praying through it and sharing it with others? John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. As there's only one we are called to follow. We're called to love everyone. We're called to follow our Lord. We don't get to lead. And in the process of meditating and hearing his voice, man, I promise you this, if you listen, God is speaking. I know it. I've experienced it over and over again. If we're willing to listen, God is speaking. And as we grow intimately and as we grow connected with him, we start hearing him a lot sooner and a lot quicker. And if you've ever seen sheep with a shepherd, you can have shepherds passing like this with their sheep behind them, and the sheep start going, and they know the shepherd's voice. He calls out their name, and they follow. It's amazing to watch. And we are to follow our Lord, our shepherd. And guys, we won't know his voice if we don't know the word. Please hear that. Sunday is not the time we spend in the word only. Sunday is a time where we corporately come together and are encouraged and challenged. But it leads us into Monday, which leads us into Tuesday of spending time in the Word. Meditation on God's Word leads us into action. If we're following him, it means we're not following ourselves. And so to hear from God, to meditate on his Word, it leads to action, and we have a new understanding. It's the kind of action where we have a new understanding of what's real and what's not. Not only do we have a new understanding, we have a new peace in the midst of the trial and storm. And so now the situation that we're in doesn't control us. We're not subject to whatever's happening to us, but we can be like Christ in the boat in the storm. There was no reason for him to have peace except that he was intimate with the Father, and he was safe, and he was with his Father. Even in sleep, by day, by night. New understanding of peace in the storm and a trust in God even when we don't understand. Because there are going to be trials in our lives where we're going to look at God and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where we're going to repeat that psalm that Jesus repeated from the cross. Where are you, God? I don't feel your presence. I need to hear from you right now. I need you right now. And then we hear because we know our shepherd's voice. And we're following and the clutter dies down. And we start moving forward. Psalm 119:15-16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. There's that word again, delight. Did you see? That often when we talk about meditation, we saw it in the first Psalms 1:1-3. And we see it again here. I delight in your decrees. When we're intimate with God, there's a natural response. That joy, that delight in him. Guys, have you ever been just beyond discouraged and you spend time in the Word and you're just like, everything looks different? Because you've been intimate with God and now what was draining you and all the realities of life that were weighing you down now have been, you spent time intimately with God and now you've heard from God. And now there's a way forward. Guys, did you hear that? Now there's a way forward. Now you can see through, and now God is saying, follow me. And we follow, and what's the response? That we don't have to work for, it just happens. It's delight. It's joy. Because we're in the presence of God. We're in His holiness. And when we're intimate with Him, His holiness is now what we're seeing and experiencing intimately and personally. And all of a sudden, the struggles of this world seem strangely dim. And the joy of the Lord is what, it's like getting slapped in the face. Oh my goodness, I see it now. It's like, have you ever been where you've come across something beautiful in God's nature? And man, you're like, God, you are awesome. Look at your creation. That childlike joy of seeing God, of hearing from Him. On that note, I do want to encourage you, as you spend some time in meditation, I want to encourage you to spend some time, if you can, either near a window where you can look out into nature, or being outside. The weather is changing. There's something about being in the presence of God's, you know, maybe away from a street. Maybe go for a walk to the park and be quiet and still before Him. Man, there's something special about being quiet in His presence. And when we're in the glory of the work of His hands, it's, for me at least, it's easier for me to be still. To be quiet before Him. Man. I want to end with this. Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to Him a child, He put Him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We've got to get rid of this idea of there's a way to look spiritually mature. You got to frown a little more. You got to pause before you speak so everybody can be drawn in. You've got to command the room. That is not spiritual maturity. That is focus here. That's all about me. To have that childlike joy in God. It doesn't mean being childish in the negative ways. It means being childlike in the good ways of being in awe of our God. Guys, when's the last time you were in awe of Him? Where you were taken back by Him? If we're puffing ourselves up, we are not going to be in awe. If we humble ourselves before Him. And guys, that includes, once again, where we started, which is this. If we humble ourselves before God, we can hear Him. Is He speaking? He's speaking. And if you don't know Him intimately, unless He's drawing Himself to you and pulling you to Him, you're not going to hear from Him. But if He is calling out to you right today, right now, respond. Respond to Him. And say, "God, is that you? Okay, I'm going to humble myself before you, God. I'm going to forgive me for my sin. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of being religious. I'm going to humble myself before you, God, and I choose to follow you. I choose to give you my life. I believe that you are my Lord and Savior, Jesus. I believe. When we respond to God as He's calling out, lives are transformed. I know that I need transformation. There's too many things, there's too many parts of Matthew that are so much Matthew and so focused there. My prayer is that over these next few weeks that we grow in our intimacy with God. Let's be still before Him. Let's hear from Him. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, We pray that your word would speak to us in such a way that we would be different because of it. Lord, I pray if there's anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, that they would either speak to you directly or grab someone next to them, grab an elder, grab someone and say, I need Jesus right now. For those of us who are walking with you, Lord, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for allowing all the clutter to come in. Lord, we choose this week to find some time to be still before you and hear from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.